Sports Hub headlines.
Both the Patriots and Eagles met the media last night, opening night here in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52 coming up on Sunday. Rob Gronkowski did not participate. He's still in the concussion protocol. Malcolm Butler not present due to illness. More from Radio Row coming up right here at the Mall of America in Minneapolis with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics got the win 111-110 over the Nuggets in Denver last night. They come home to take on the Knicks tomorrow night. Avery Bradley traded from Detroit along with Tobias Harris to the Clippers in exchange for Blake Griffin. Those three players are the biggies involved in that deal. John Wall of the Wizards could miss as much as 2 months. He's undergoing a procedure on his knee. Tonight at the Garden, it's the Bruins playing host to Anaheim. Brad Marchand's suspension continues. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30 tonight right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Hosting guests for the big game, your party isn't complete without a trip to Big Y World Class Market. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zoe and Beetle are live in Minneapolis thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Radio Row here on this noontime hour. Mall of America, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Always a good time, Zoe.
Sure is.
A lot of people here.
It is.
A lot of people.
Starting to get busy. You know what I laugh at? The mall walkers are pissed.
Yeah, they are.
They're like, the Minnesotans are walking around. I saw people.
It's just a game, people.
Guys with tank tops. It's minus five out. There's tank tops and sweatpants. And they have these speed walkers with, like, ski poles. Like, they're going cross-country skiing. Like, these are professional mall walkers.
Want to let you know that this hour of Zolak and Bertrand here on Radio Row is brought to you by Stop and Shop. You missed a good one there with Leslie Visser.
I love Leslie.
She was telling us 14 more stories off the air that were just incredible that we're going
to do
another day.
Yeah, I saw her on the way in. I said, I apologize for missing this, but I got to go do Bill. She goes, I totally understand. Totally understand. What's going on?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
My God. What a week. What a week. let's get to this.
You know what this reminds me of?
This story with... No. Save it. We'll save it for later.
Okay.
Well, you can vent at the end of the week with all of us. This story with Alex Reamer.
Yeah.
And the interview with WEEI that Tom Brady did. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised at how big of a story this has become. I am and I'm not. I'm surprised that it's blown up to the degree that it has just because... Maybe it's because I know all the people involved. Maybe that's
why. I
think
we all do.
And I'm just,
but I don't know
we're close to it.
I don't know Alex.
I do.
Okay, you do, I don't.
Yeah, and...
I know everybody else.
I know him personally. I know what kind of person he is.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm friends with Tom Brady,
right.
But I've spoken with Tom Brady on a few occasions. Maybe that's why, but it's huge. This story is huge. It's national news. It's on all the morning shows that you woke up with this morning on TV. In fact,
right. We
were driving over here from our hotel this morning. And Hardy and I, you know, just tooling around with the local stations. There's a top 40 station here on their morning show playing the audio of the original comment, the interview that Brady did.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't a sports station we're listening to. This is top 40 hits
on
their morning show covering this story. It's blown up.
It was in the first block of the Today Show this morning.
I talked to Brady.
So give us your thoughts and tell us what you've heard and all
okay.
this.
Go. I heard the comments over the weekend, obviously. You know, a person or two have reached out to me from over there learning, like, wow, this thing has potential to get bad. And I think the morning show over there also kept the story alive and gave it more life, which sort of put it in their popular show and, you know, put it front and center. We know those guys. Hey, come on, it's not like everybody here hates each other. We all work in this
business. Guys at WEI?
Yeah.
Oh, God, we've talked to every single one of them.
I mean, they come over here. We go over there. I mean,
everybody's been here.
Everybody thinks it's like, you know, it's East versus West. West Coast rap versus East Coast. I'm going to pop a cap in your ass. No. I think it's cordial. But I talked to the quarterback yesterday prior to it. He was more upset earlier in the day after doing the interview. And then I talked to him before media night last night. And he goes, I just don't get the negativity and how it drives some of the talk. He goes, because I really like to sit there and talk about the game and football. He's like, I understand I got to do the interview, and I enjoy doing the interview. But there are certain things that are off limits. I totally agree with him on this. And I heard Bruschi talk about this last night. And Bruschi said, okay. And I know Mad Dog went off on it. I'm tired of this. Shut up. You know, don't make an issue of it. Just tell the kid to issue an apology. And Bruschi said, well, if a man of Brady's stature doesn't stop the continuous negativity or the attacking of a family member, and kids should be off limits. We know the stuff with the Portnoy stuff with the son, without getting into details.
Which are
about
they
that.
In the same vein?
I think the Portnoy's one would be considered worse.
Okay.
And, right?
Well, according to Dave Portnoy, his is completely different and is nothing like Reamer's comment.
What? Here's
that's his take on it.
Hold on.
I disagree with that.
Hold on. Now,
Zoe does real quick,
and I know Dave, and I know where Dave's coming from on this, because when that was put out, Dave was in a different stratosphere as what he is now. Dave has exploded right now.
Right.
Barstool is huge. Dave was considered
Doesn't matter, though.
But Dave was considered.
What the hell does that have to do with it?
Dave attacked me before, but at that time, he was writing blogs to really attack people. Right,
but it's the act. It's the act of involving someone's kid.
Exactly.
Whether it be posting a naked picture of someone's kid on a beach or calling a 5-year-old a piss ant,
man.
Like Reamer did the other day. Okay. You're still talking about someone's kid.
I play with guys that have kids with 2, 3, 4 different women out of wedlock. Okay, there's things you don't talk about. You know, when you know stuff, we sit here and we know it every day. You don't attack the kids. A little kid in his face, she doesn't know what's going on. She should be front and center now. And now the problem is, I think, now you bring the wife in, right? Now it's her daughter, too. So this isn't only Tom's daughter. So not only is Tom upset with this, and I know he is personally, but I'm sure it gets compounded when he hears it from the mother. And I'm sure Giselle's very upset about it, which adds to, okay, this is why I'm going to handle what I did Monday and kind of reassess some things and this thing moving forward, which I don't think is going to go well for them. I just think this kid stepped in it, and it's a big one he stepped in. Sometimes you step in bigger piles of dog poo than small ones. I've done it before.
Yeah, and it was a fleeting comment. He didn't hammer the point home. It got hammered home by his own coworkers.
Yep.
Who kept bringing it up and talking about it.
I wonder how bad they feel. You know,
I don't know if they feel bad. No, I don't think they feel bad. I don't sense that at all. I think there's a certain element of wanting to watch the world burn over there. And, you know,
But that's what drives Brady crazy. He goes, why are we going to get into the drama of other things?
No, yeah, and he shouldn't even be that upset. He should be upset with Reamer for bringing it up, and I get it. If it's your kid, I'd be pissed, and I probably wouldn't be able to take the high road. I probably would want him fired. But he should be just as pissed at the guys who replayed it and hammered it home and were probably doing it with a snicker out of the side of their mouth. Oh, can you believe that? He should be fired. They've done it before over there. They want to eat their own. They knock everything down, just create chaos because they think it makes good radio. The problem is, this time, you pissed off the quarterback with whom you have a contractual obligation.
That's why this is different than Portnoy.
They just re-signed, and you're supposed to have this ongoing relationship with them, and now you've screwed that up because you wanted to not only – one guy made a fleeting comment that I do not condone. You can't defend it, and it shouldn't be defended. But then they decide to, hey, let's throw a little gasoline on this little fire that may not even exist. Let's see if we can make this thing blow up a little bit more.
I would say that the criticism by itself without the name calling would have been okay. That's a fake looking scene. You know, that's really staged.
It's hard to stage kids.
Yeah, but that even so what though?
No, I know it, that
you are staging things by framing what you include in the 15 minutes but versus what you don't. And so
it's a comment
this,
made.
I'm just saying this, Zoe. It's about the name calling. It's about, it's about that one word. It's not about the comment or criticism. Yeah, yeah. It's about calling a kid, a five-year-old kid,
but
that name. It's only about that one word.
You'd call
it's
your
not
kid,
about
see,
the criticism.
You'd call your kids that. And I know you got three little ones. I got them. I've called them every name in the book. But I wouldn't call Hardy's kids' names your kids' names. And I think the problem is the kid's a 23-year-old kid. It's not going to have kids, obviously. Unless, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't mean.
In 10 years?
He may.
In 10 years?
I don't know.
He may think entirely differently.
So, exactly. You got a 23-year-old kid that isn't even
He'll have different thoughts about this then. He might have different thoughts 6 months from now than he has now about this.
Right.
But I could and I can tell you that I know he feels terrible about it before it blew up. I can tell you that. I know that for a fact. That before this had even become a thing, before the Brady interview took place, I heard that directly from him himself, how awful he felt about this.
Yeah.
He knows he's wrong. He knows that it was an awful thing to say. And that was acknowledged, I could tell you, to me directly before this thing blew up, before Brady hung up the phone on them.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth, and I don't think anyone's going to cut him any slack.
But
you know what? You don't have
to. He doesn't
to.
Want him fired. He doesn't want him fired.
Right. No one has to cut Alex Reamer any slack. He's a big boy. He's on the radio. He can handle it himself. I would just say that you're right about that part, though. If you have kids, you feel completely different about this than someone who doesn't
have kids.
You're just going to feel that way.
Right. And I mean, I think...
You can't describe to someone what it's like to have kids. It's impossible.
And no matter
how many people try to do that to you, they can't do it. This is my gripe with the people with pets that say, oh, I have a pet and it's like having a kid. Nope.
No, it's not. No.
No, a-hole. It's not.
No.
That's not like having a kid.
You don't walk
have
around.
A kid and then you'll tell me what it's like
You don't
to have
walk
a kid.
Around your yard and pick up, you know, kid do with a pooper scooper.
No, that's like
well, sometimes you
That's
do.
My baby. No, that's not a real baby. That's a dog or a cat. That's not a kid. Big difference. And so you can't do it. You can't describe to someone, oh, what's it like to have a kid and know what that feels like to be a parent. And so I think that's maybe why it's blown up to the degree that it has, because so many people can relate to the feeling of, don't you dare F with my kids.
Right.
You
that's,
know?
And that's what it is.
Don't you even think
and,
about
and
it.
And that's why if Portnoy or anybody else tries to say like what they did was somehow different or better.
You're an idiot.
No, dude. What are you, soft? I was complimenting the kid.
Shut up. You're effing with somebody's kids. You don't do that.
Another guy doesn't
don't
have kids.
Don't do it.
I mean, you know,
right, exactly. Another guy who doesn't have kids.
Yeah. And,
yes.
and Tom gets it. And Tom goes, like, hey, I've had big discussions with them back and forth on the TB12 method. And he goes, people told me, you know, hey, they'll say negative things about it. But he said, that's the right. You know, and we've gone back and forth. That you could think whatever you want to think about whatever I do or whatever I've done. He goes, kids are off limits. And that's where you're at with this. That's all.
And you could have criticized that scene if you thought it was fake and staged without going after the five-year-old.
But, okay.
You could have. So, you could have done it. You could have done it.
So this is where I think Bruschi's right more so than Russo, Chris Russo, who I love. You know, I think Russo's wrong on this. Bruschi's right. If Brady doesn't do this, and Bruschi talked about him backing off. He goes, I get upset. And Bruschi's intense, though. I mean, he overanalyzes everything, too. He's nuts. But he's like, if Brady doesn't do this, then we as a media society maybe continue to do these things and this stuff starts to build. So I think people in this business now will think twice before you start talking about somebody's kids or family in a negative light.
Coming up next, we will hear from Patriots receivers coach Chad O'Shea, an excellent, excellent interview that we taped last night.
One of my favorite ones.
This was my favorite one from last night.
I agree.
Chad O'Shea. He will be with us, and you can hear it next after the CBS Sports Minute. John Feinstein weighing in on Tom Izzo, saying Tom Izzo is part of the solution for Michigan State. I would say that Feinstein supporting Tom Izzo could be the kiss of death for Tom Izzo. That's like saying we have full faith in the head coach before the head coach gets fired, because Tom Izzo could very well be on his way out at Michigan State. Here's Feinstein.
Oh, boy.
The home of the local call of the big game. Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Golak and Bertrand from opening night in St. Paul for Super Bowl 52. We are now joined by another member of the Patriots coaching staff. This is Chad O'Shea joining us. Chad, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What's different from last year?
You know, this doesn't ever get old. it's a great time. I know the players are excited to be here, and we look forward to a great week in Minnesota.
You guys lose Gronk, obviously, in the middle of that game against Jacksonville. How much did you guys have to throw out the windows for us? You know, he's obviously going to set coverage when he's in the huddle.
Right.
How much changed series to series as that game evolved?
Well, I think that, you know, any time that you lose a player, you know, like Rob, during the course of a game, there's going to have to be some adjustments. I think that's what Josh McDaniels has done such a great job of with the offense here, is be able to adjust, especially during a game, and do what's best for the team. And certainly that's what he did, and that's what he's done all year, and that's what he's done since he's been here. And it's great to have someone leading our offense that has the ability to adjust, and it's also to have great players that can adjust also. I think that's important, is that we've always prided ourselves on having players here that are smart, can be able to adjust, and if you don't have that, you're unable to function when somebody gets hurt like Rob Gronkowski.
Is there something special about Danny Amendola that allows him to have the games that he has had in the big stage playoffs like he has this season and in other seasons?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he is definitely priding himself in those situations to make those plays. And I think it goes back to, I always tell those guys that their dominant habit emerges under pressure. And certainly his habits that he's created over years of working with him, specifically of catching the football, in that time under great pressure, I believe that his habit is doing that real well. And certainly that was a huge deal for us in the playoffs, and he's played so well for us, and he's a clutch player, and so happy to have Danny be a part of our team.
You know, a lot of people will point to the touchdowns and the comeback in the AFC title game. I want to go back to the start of that game. There was the fourth down conversion to him early,
yeah,
and Tom had a great throw, and everyone talks about the throw, but what about the difficulty of that catch that he made along the sidelines to convert on that fourth down?
Yeah, I think it was as difficult as catch as the one in the back of the end zone. It was definitely what we call a contested catch, where he had to make a great catch with somebody on his back. And, you know, Danny's definitely demonstrated that at practice consistently, that he makes those plays. So it wasn't a surprise that he made it, but it certainly was an exceptional play, and one that, you know, if he doesn't make, it's obviously the outcome's going to be different in that game.
I remember going back my days with Parcells, and we'd be doing install, getting ready for Tuesdays, Wednesdays, our third down package,
right,
for, you know, whether it's red zone. And he wanted quarterbacks to always think like the coordinators. And he,
yeah,
you write your top five plays down, you write your top five plays, and they better blend.
Right.
And you've been around this team for a while now, you've seen different guys call plays. The reports are Josh is going to move on after this game. And I know everything's not official yet.
Right.
You probably don't want to talk about that. But how much have you absorbed from him, and your name has been brought up as a guy can elevate to the ultimate coordinator position?
Right.
You know what I'm saying, without asking.
No, I got you.
Yeah. We're asking you without asking.
Yeah, I got it. You know, I've been fortunate since I've got here, you know, with Billy O'Brien and then Josh, working for Josh for 6 years. I've been it's been a great benefit to be around these guys, because they definitely had different styles, and all coaches have different styles and different things that they bring. But it's been a great experience, and one of which been invaluable for me, and hopefully will be beneficial to me in whatever my role is in the future. And again, as you know, what we're going to say, and it's the truth, we're going to focus on today and the moment, and that's what we've done, and that's what I think Josh has done a great job of, is just focusing on the now, and our players have done a great job of eliminating all the distractions this year, regardless of what they have been.
Well, to talk about your current role in coaching receivers and being an offensive coach, how much work do you have to put in with a quarterback? Is there a lot of crossover there?
Yeah, I think, as Zoe can tell you, there's definitely a lot of interaction you have with the quarterbacks, and vice versa. There's a lot of interaction that our receivers have and that the coaches have, because you definitely have to be on the same page, and the communication's critical, and the timing's critical. So, you know, I think that it's always a very important part of the chemistry of your passing offense is to have those two groups be on the same page.
I'll ask you about Brandon Cooks. You know, there's a lot been talked about Brandon. You look on paper, that's one hell of a year from a statistical standpoint.
Yep.
But it seems there's times where there could be another player, too, where the one last week, the deep drag against
Houston.
Talk about his work ethic and his ability to come back from not making that catch,
yeah,
but then to continue to have one hell of a game last week.
You know, I thought that it's awesome you said that, because if I looked at that game, there was a couple things that really stood out to me, and I told the receiver group that the next day, and one of the things that really stood out is when Brandon Cooks, we had the missed opportunity on the long ball that he wished he would have had back. He has such great resiliency and great mental toughness that when I looked in his eyes, after that play, I knew for sure that he was going to come back with a lot of confidence in himself, and the team had a lot of confidence in him, and there was going to be just a lot of success that was going to happen after that. And I think that's a tribute to him. This guy is a mentally tough, resilient, hardworking, smart guy that I think that has been awesome for us this year.
You get the two big calls, too. And then also, the one that stood out to me was him battling on that comeback down the left side, right in front of your bench. I thought that was his best catch of the game.
Yeah, that was a great play, and one we talk a lot about for those guys. In these games that are tight, you're going to have to make a contested catch. And that's something he certainly did on that play. And I think that was a critical play for him, especially, you know, like you said, coming back after a missed opportunity earlier in the game and then to make a contested catch that was a critical play in the game was really big for us.
You know, another guy who made a play late in the game was Philip Dorsett, who came in a trade, started the season. How would you assess his first year as a Patriot?
Well, you know, I would assess it on that play and say that this guy has stayed ready for us the entire year. He might have not, you know, had a high number of plays or a lot of production for us catch-wise, but what he's done is he's learned the offense. He knows what to do from a multiple position standpoint. We can put him anywhere, and he'll know exactly what to do as far as the details. And that was a play in which we took Hogan out because he was down the field running a route, and it was a critical play in the game, and he knew exactly what to do and really executed the detail of that play and then made a great play. So I think that's kind of how I see Philip Dorsett this year, as a guy that's been really reliable for us within his role.
How tough is it having Edelman and Amendola in the same meeting room because they both think they're male models? Do you guys have any fun throwing it up with the videos, like when they do the modeling shoots?
The greatest challenge of my job,
what socks they have on,
is to try to manage those two guys in a meeting room. Okay, and
Meathead one and Meathead two. Right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Both those guys are awesome, and they what great work ethics and great personalities, and really they got an edge about them every day. There's a chip on their shoulder. They come to work, and they're trying to prove people that they can play in this league every day, and that's kind of how they look at it, and it's been awesome to have both those guys in the room.
Patriots receivers coach Chad O'Shea. Chad, good luck on Sunday, and good luck with whatever the offseason brings.
Thank you, guys.
Patriots receivers coach Chad O'Shea, last night at opening night, held at the XL Energy Center, home of the Minnesota Wild. Opening night for the Super Bowl in a hockey rink. Nice building. That was a great interview, and he told us some things in there about the year that Brandon Cooks had, but also about a play that he just said at the end of the interview. The play that Philip Dorsett made in that game, the catch that he made late, was on a play that Hogan was taken out of the game because it was a deep route down the field. Did you catch that?
He's so thorough, Chad O'Shea, and you could just tell that he's very deliberate in the way he talks, the way he analyzes something, the way they let negative plays go, and how he coaches these guys up. And he goes on about Gronkowski there, and Rob's a different player, and how Cooks battles back. See, Cooks can be a big guy in this game because I think they're weak on the outside. Now, this isn't – you're not seeing number 20 from last week. You know, they got decent safeties, good safety.
Yeah.
One very good safety. Their safety's decent. I think they're weak at the corner. Patriots perimeter guys could have some chances in this game.
Well, that could be your next offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots.
I think it is going to be.
Could be. And he was very insightful and gave us a lot of great stuff in that interview. Following that, we spoke with Josh McDaniels. You will hear from Josh McDaniels in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair. That's the same chair that Chad O'Shea was sitting in last night. It'll be Josh McDaniels in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair. That is coming up on Zolak and Bertrand. It's coming up next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Rob Gronkowski did not participate in the opening night ceremonies last night as he's still in the concussion protocol. Malcolm Butler not there. He's got the flu, but rest of the team was there. Downtown Minneapolis, as both teams met the media and fans for their first official appearance during Super Bowl week leading up to the game Sunday afternoon. We're live here on Radio Row at the Mall of America on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics overcame a third quarter deficit, 111-110 win over the Nuggets in Denver last night. They will be home to take on the Knicks tomorrow night. Other NBA news, Wizards point guard John Wall undergoing a procedure on his left knee tomorrow. could be out for the next 2 months. Blake Griffin traded to the Pistons. Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris go to the Clippers as part of that deal. Tonight at the TD Garden, it's the Bruins playing host to Anaheim. Brad Marchand's suspension continues. Judd Zerat, Bob Beers have the call. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock on the New England Honda Dealers 98.5 The Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josephhrussomd.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
The Mall Food Court, a hotbed of reheated pizza, is now a hotbed of sports talk. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from opening night for Super Bowl 52. We are joined by Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel. Second year in a row you've done this interview on opening night with us. So
quality.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's good luck. It's something you should do every year now.
It is good luck. This is the thing I look forward to the most tonight. I've been waiting for it to come.
Hey, I see my jacket.
You want to talk? I know. You're
like that, huh?
That, I don't own anything that looks
you're
like
gonna
that.
You're going to be taking this with you to the Midwest maybe at some point? You never know. No. I'll hook you up. So, I mean, you deal with the quarterback every day. And mm-hmm. we just had Chad O'Shea on talking to him. And he says how the quarterback and the coaches work together with the receivers. You guys have had to morph, it seems, into a different team week in, week out. How impressive is this team compared to others that you've coached in this big
game? Yeah, the guys are – I mean, you can only do what those guys allow you to do. And that says a lot about the assistant coaches that get those guys ready. And then the players that we have now, they're so adaptable. And we've tried to create a foundation in our offense that – if we need to use more receivers this week, then we're ready to do that. If we need to use a lot of tight ends, then we're ready to do that. If we need to use a bunch of backs and do it that way, then we're ready to do that. And those guys are the guys that allow that to happen. The quarterback, he just builds faith and trust in all those guys through his work and his repetitions and practice. And Tom believes in all of them and gives them a lot of confidence going into each week. We work hard at the game plan, and he'll be ready to go. And whatever that needs to be from his mentality and his standpoint, I know he'll be ready to do it.
What is it about Philadelphia that's been keeping you up at night?
You know, they're well coached. Jimmy does a great job, and they're really deep from front to back. They play a lot of defensive linemen. They got a lot of guys that can create negative plays up front. I'd say that's really the strength of their team. Defense is, you know, that defensive front creates a lot of problems and a lot of third and longs that we got to avoid and stay out of. You know, the secondary, is, you know, there's not a lot of easy throws. They take those away. They don't want to give you a bunch of dink and dunks and let you just walk the ball down the field. So that'll be a challenge to try to find some of those, you know, short completions that maybe we can catch and do something with after we have the ball. And the linebackers are good tacklers, good blitzers, and they get a lot of protection from the front four because everybody's so concerned with them. So it's a great unit. It's the best team we've played, no doubt about it. They're good situation, very good on third down. And that a lot of that has to do with how many negative plays they create on first and second down.
From a snap tracker standpoint, does their offense and their ability to hold the ball keep the defense fresh where you're not playing, say, 70, 80 snaps per game?
You're talking about us.
No, I'm talking about the Philadelphia offense.
Yeah.
Their ability to control the clock with the ball. I'm tired of talking RPO.
Yeah.
I don't like RPO.
I don't even know what that is.
Right, there you go. But you know what I'm saying? When they keep the ball, like the defense, if you're out there for 45, 50 snaps a game, that's a much fresher defense than saying go out win games for us like a Jacksonville.
No doubt. There'll be a tug of war on Sunday, I think.
Tug of war.
You know, we want to try to – you know, we're going to try to be out there as many plays as we can. Last week – you know, we didn't get the play count up till a little later in the game. And, you know, look, our goal, we only take the field to do one thing, and that's score. So, you know, we got to go out there and make first downs. We got to earn the right to play into the 70s or maybe the 80s if you're lucky by what you do and how well you execute. So we're going to try to do that as much as we can so we can get out there, stay out there, and eventually maybe we wear them down a little bit in the second half. But you have to earn the right to do that.
Is your mom going to be biting her nails this week? And is your dad going to give you any advice?
She already is, and he is too. He talked before I came here.
I'll tell you what to say,
Told me what not to say if I go on with Zolak.
My dad does the same thing. So. No, I'm 50 now, man. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
The look you just gave me. Wow.
What the hell you
hear? Like, oh, damn, 50? Wow, Zo.
50.
Yeah. In the Josh McDaniels coaching philosophy, what's better, starting the game with the football or having the football coming out of the half and going for the double score?
I'm a big fan of that, the latter. You know, if you know, you can't always guarantee that you're going to have it last in the second quarter.
You guys have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, you look, you have to try to do the right thing when you get the ball, and having it last sometimes means starting in a different frame of mind when you get it with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's not always you get it with a minute and a half and you go two-minute drill. You might have to do that with 4 minutes to go and kind of wind it down a little bit and then try to do something at the end.
So it didn't really apply in the AFC Championship game, but there was a touchdown prior to the end of the first half. How important was that in your mind in the grand scheme of that game?
I think those types of moments when you've kind of struggled a little bit and then all of a sudden you kind of get going, you kick it in, you get a couple plays, we got helped by the penalty, but get it down the field and then put it in right before halftime, and then you go in feeling, okay, like we figured something out. Now we got to try to take advantage of that and move forward and try to build on it. So I think anytime you can create positive momentum going into the locker room at halftime, it's never a bad thing. And it just it makes the locker room a little bit, there's a little bit more life to it, you know, and you feel a little bit better about what you just did.
Last time you did this with us last year, the owner came on. He jumped on a headset. He said, hey, don't forget. He's not here.
Okay.
He goes, don't forget who signs the bottom right corner. How important has that guy been to, you know, having you here originally and then bringing you back after you had the experience out in Denver and then you went to another team with the Rams, and now you're back and probably ready to go for the next one. So.
He's incredible. I mean, I'll be forever indebted to him and his family, Robert and his family. They've given me a great opportunity here, give me everything I need as a coach. It's been great in terms of providing resources, providing leadership, wisdom to me. Same thing with Bill. You know, those guys are the reason that I'm here. And, you know, I hope that I give them everything I got every week. I know I'm going to try to do that this week. And it's been a blessing to be here.
We're talking with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. There's a television special, 30 for 30, called The Two Bills that's coming out later this week.
Nightmare.
And it's got Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. And in that documentary, Bill Belichick gives a lot of praise to Bill Parcells, saying, you know, you always had time for your coordinators and your assistants. You always showed us things that were related to head coaching, even though we weren't head coaches, and say, hey, I want to make you aware of this, or I want to make you aware of that. Does he do that now as a head coach, with whether it be you or Matt Patricia or anybody on the staff?
Yep, he absolutely does. He's very unselfish with that, with any wisdom or information that he has that may help us, whether that's as another title or whatever it may be, or just maybe to make us better in the role that we're in now. He's always there to serve us. He's always tried to help us improve. He's not selfish with what he's learned. He's done a great job of trying to grow us as a staff. We've got a lot of young guys on the staff that try to grow and get better each year, each week. And he does a tremendous job of mentoring all of us.
Speaking of TV specials, Tom Brady has Tom versus Time now. Did you know you're in Tom versus Time?
I've heard that, but I haven't seen anything about it. I mean, I haven't seen anything of it.
Yeah, I'm in it.
You're in it?
I'm in it, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I said like one word in it. But,
yeah, I was in it. Yeah, a bunch of us were in it, just our voices.
If you ever need a quarterback coach, you call me. I got 9 years. I got 9 years for the pension from a player standpoint.
So I just want to see you waving a white towel sometime in the fourth quarter
Sunday,
with
okay?
Josie.
All right.
I got one more real question here, because we were debating this on the air today. Tom's in his car on his phone after the Carolina game, and he's losing it, saying, we're just the Patriots. We're going to roll out the helmets. Everyone just thinks we're going to win the games. This is after the game, after the loss.
Yeah.
And it's implied that he's talking to you.
No.
It wasn't you.
No.
And the subtitles say he's talking to Josh.
Yeah. It said, I thought it said Josh, and then there was 69 was the temperature, and we thought Gronkowski was in the car.
There was another time he was talking to you.
Stop it.
So you're in it.
Yeah.
You got to go watch
it
now.
Great.
Catch up.
I will.
All right, Josh. Good talking to you.
Thanks
for coming by.
Appreciate you guys.
Good luck. Patriots offensive coordinator for now, Josh McDaniels, getting ready for what we expect will be his final game as Patriots offensive coordinator.
I can't believe that the last thing he said to you, that they'll probably be the last words, you know, spoken to this show as a Patriot, were a lie. That was him. Come on. It's him. It says Josh.
Of course it was.
Subtitles don't lie. It's a subtitle. How can that be a lie?
He said it with a smile. He was ready to deny involvement. Going,
he hasn't.
That wasn't me.
He hasn't seen it. How you?
Deion Lewis hasn't talked to Blunt.
How are you supposed to even remember? How are you supposed to even remember?
I think we got lied to multiple times last night. Deion Lewis said he hadn't talked to Blunt. Okay.
Maybe not.
I think the clerk at Nordstrom's might say might think differently. Or say, wait a minute, what? I saw those guys today. But what are you going to do? They're all covering their behinds, you know?
As they should.
They're all staying here at the mall, too, which I love. I think this is sort of a fun thing about this part of it. Usually you have these big, grand hotels that the teams are staying at, right? The biggest Marriott in town, the big whatever it might be,
whatever the big hotels are. You're in Podunk, Minnesota.
It is a Marriott here. It's the JW Marriott.
Nice Marriott.
At the Mall of America, and that's where the team is. They're staying at the mall. And the Eagles are at the other end, right?
Correct.
And taking in aspects of the mall.
Yeah. Doing a little shopping.
Just saw the special teams unit of the snapper, the holder, and the kicker at Panda Express.
They're getting a little lunch.
Did anybody recognize them?
No.
No, of course. This is the best part. Rex Burkhead was walking around here, Radio Row, yesterday. Rex Burkhead in plain clothes.
Too many
people. No one knows who the hell he is.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're Gronkowski or Brady.
Yeah.
I mean,
Rex Burkhead down here checking out the scene.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's going on down here? Just walking around with his Patriots stocking cap on, and no one knew it was him. It's good. Yeah. We've had people coming up to us all day here that are asking us if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will be stopping by our set. We're like, what?
Yeah, people are ridiculous.
No.
I saw,
ridiculous to think that players from the Super Bowl would be walking around in the Mall of America, but they are. So, no. Now, having said that, no, I do not expect Bill Belichick to come down to Radio Row and start granting interviews, but I wouldn't have expected to see Deion Lewis in Shake Shack last night either.
I mean, yeah, I was walking around, saw four guys with baggy pants. That's four of the homies. I'm like, that's McCourty and the guys. I run up, this guy's shopping. It wasn't McCourty and the guys. They blended. I mean, but that's like you blend here. You could go out and you could shop and... Is that the guys?
Hiding in plain sight.
It's not. They're just casual guys shopping.
I'd like to give away something right now, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on the Maple Leafs this Saturday night at the Garden. What a great weekend you could carve out for yourself. Hit the Bruins game at the Garden with these tickets on Saturday, Super Bowl on Sunday.
Like the guys from Philly, they could go to the Bruins game because they're not at the Super Bowl covering. They could just fly to Boston and go to the game.
They're closer to Boston than they are to Minnesota. Right now, caller 10 on that Pride Motor Group contest line, 931-0985, will win those tickets to Saturday night's Bruins game. We will hear from LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long. They did an interview together with us last night. That will be coming up at Zolak and Bertrand. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row is brought to you by Stop and Shop. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots arrived yesterday and almost immediately went over to the XL Center where they had opening night ceremonies. Both them and the Eagles on stage meeting with fans. It was Devin McCourty who says they got a big challenge ahead of them on Sunday.
Ton of talented players out there, whether it's in the running game, the passing game. They can beat you so many different ways. So just watching last week against Minnesota is tough to prepare, you know, making plays all over the field. So we'll have our hands full.
Scott Zolak thought he spotted Devin McCourty shopping at Boot Barn earlier. More information like that coming up live from the Mall of America here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics with a 111-110 win over the Nuggets in Denver last night. They'll be home to play the Knicks tomorrow night. Tonight at the Garden, it's the Bruin playing host to Anaheim, Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Get things rolling on the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Wizards all-star point guard John Wall undergoing a procedure on his left knee tomorrow. Could be out for the next 2 months. Blake Griffin headed to the Pistons. Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris go to the Clippers as part of the deal. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.